Readers Entertainment presents Book Lights, where we are shining the light on good books.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is Book Lights Day, and today I have Cindy Madsen on with me. She writes the most wonderful contemporary and YA books. They're always... She always has these really unique characters and funny things happen. And anyway, I'm really excited that she can be on today. And if you don't know Cindy, I'm going to go ahead and read her bio. Also, I have this note here. Don't forget to introduce yourself. So what do? Forget. I'm Lisa Kessler, who can't follow her own directions. I write paranormal romances, if you haven't listened in before. And every week I get to talk with other authors, and it's so fun. I talk to all different genres, and it's just great to talk to writers. So if you don't know Cindy, I'm going to read her bio for you really quick, and then we'll get started. So Cindy Madsen is a USA Today best-selling author of contemporary romance and young adult novels. She sits at her computer every chance she gets, plotting, revising, and falling in love with her characters. Sometimes it makes her a crazy person. Truth, it makes every author a crazy person. You are not alone. Without it, she'd be even crazier. She has way too many shoes, but can find a reason to buy a pretty new pair, especially if they're sparkly, colorful, or super tall. I have to go with flats because I fall off of super tall shoes. You must be very coordinated.
I don't know that I'd say that. Just well practiced.
Yeah? Oh, there we go. Yeah. Lots of practice. She loves music and dancing and wishes summer lasted all year long. However, she lives in Colorado, where summer most definitely does not last all year long. She lives with her husband, three children, an overly dramatic tomcat, and an adorable one-eyed kitty named Ancient Fury. I love that. I did put Cindy's website on the Blog Talk site, so feel free to click over there and sign up for her newsletter, and you can follow her on Twitter. She's active on social media, so you can really get in touch. So, Cindy, you have a new book out.
I do, and thank you so much for the awesome intro.
Oh, you're welcome. Yep, I'm so excited to have you on.
So I have a new release. It's called Until We're More. It's one of my favorite tropes. It's, friends to lovers. It's kind of my jam. I like all the history and that moment when they start thinking about there might be something more here, but you don't want to mess up the friendship and all of that kind of stuff. So
that's so funny. I'm writing one of my very first ever friends to lovers, and I'm like, oh, this is really hard, but it's your favorite.
Yes, it's my favorite. It tends to be, I have a lot of friends to lovers romance, and I tend to gravitate toward them, and they're kind of the easiest for me. I guess that sounds, but
yeah,
just,
yeah,
building the friendship and having that, having those great friendships there, and then having the moment that changes everything, and I just really like it. So
yeah, I think that's super cool. I just wanted you to know you're like talented, because I'm finding that a challenge.
Well, I'm sure you will work it out great as well. I think that everybody has those, every author has kind of those tropes that are like their thing that works really well for them, that they're really familiar with, that's easy, and it's always good to challenge ourselves and try something new. But there's certain tropes that I'm like, I don't even know how people do that one.
Right. So. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard. Well, writing in general is hard. What can you tell us about the new book and why people should get it right now?
Well, I figure most readers are kind of bookworms. We all usually have experience in being kind of awkward, and I really love kind of awkward, quirky heroine. So my heroine is a bookworm. She's always forever buried in a book. And I like it because when she meets Liam, that she moved in next door to him when she was like 12, and she just goes up to him. And he's like known as this like stoic, hardly talks. Like, he's like, the only people I really talk to is my brother and sister. And in their heads, they're like, we can't even get him to talk. So he thinks he's chatty with them, and everyone's like, no, he's never. And so she just, like, walked up to him and just started, like, rattling stuff off, and it was kind of that thing in her head where she was like, I should stop talking. Why do I keep talking? And also, I have a unicorn collection, and, you know, so it was like, oh, crap, I shouldn't have said that. And he was kind of like, this girl's, you know, everyone was always telling him to talk more, and he's like, this, she will never tell me to talk more, and I could listen to her all day. So they just kind of form a friendship that way. So it's kind of a fun dynamic because she's like super chatty bookworm and has all the nerd references. And then he's the MMA fighter who's kind of got the, you know, where he's professionally fights people. And it talks about in high school, she would always just hop on the, you know, she'd be perfectly happy sitting on the sidelines while he trained because she would be in a book and she'd be in a different world. And she kind of had a complicated home life, so it was actually nice for her to go to the gym because then no one would be bothering her and telling her that they needed, you know, this, that, or the other, and she could actually escape into the world. And then as soon as he was done training, then, you know, oh, here I am back in the real world for a little while with my friend and that kind of thing. So it's a fun dynamic.
Nice. Is this your first MMA fighter in a book?
It's my second. So the first guy in the first series, Until You're Mine, he is also an MMA fighter. Kind of, he had gotten way up high in the ranks, and then something happened where he just couldn't win, and you find out it has to do with his family and all that kind of stuff. So he actually comes to Liam and Finn, and their dad used to be he's a championship fighter, and he asks them to take a chance on him and train him and get him back to where he used to be. And, of course, then he meets their sister, and so, you know, there's all the complications of the trainer's little sister and, yeah, your coach's little sister that you should not be checking out and that kind of thing.
Cute.
So, yeah. I kind of alluded to the friendship of Liam and Chelsea. You knew she'd moved away, so I kind of put that in so people would wonder what happened, what's going to happen. So.
Yeah. Right. And is there – so – there's a third book, right, that's coming?
So the third book will probably be about Finn, the other brother. So that's the
okay.
plan right now. I have a few other contracts that I'm juggling, so I'm not exactly sure when it'll come out.
Okay, but so all three of them, it's all from, like, the same MMA gym?
Yes, yes. They all have the same gym, the same team.
Oh, nice. I always like martial art, you know, martial art movies and books and that kind of thing. Are you having fun with that dynamic for the guys?
Yeah, it's really fun. Like, my husband, he really likes the UFC fights, and we used to watch, like, the Ultimate Fighter, you know, where they did the reality TV show. That was kind of how I learned a lot about it. But still, just to kind of make sure I got things right, it was funny because when I was writing the first book, I called up a gym and was like, I just need to talk to someone who's a professional fighter who's in this world and ask them a few questions. And they were like, what do you do? And I was like, I hate romance. And so that was really funny because I sat down with this guy. His name is Peter Straub, and he fights MMA. And he, like, I asked him so many questions, like super, super personal questions too, like that I needed to know the answer. And then it was funny because at the end he was like, can I ask what the book's about? And I was like, oh no, I just get to ask you all the personal questions. And then I kind of just tease him and I'm like, just kidding, I'll totally tell you what the book's about. So that was fun too.
After you sat down and talked to him, did you have to go back and change a bunch of things?
There were a few things that I had to change, not too much, but, like, things that you just don't realize about training.
Right.
And, like, the exact phrasing that they used. There was, like, one thing that I didn't realize how little money they make, especially at the lower tier. In a lot of ways, it's kind of like any artist writing type career. Like, the ones at the very, very top usually make good money, and the ones in the middle are, like, fairly squeaking by, and the ones in the bottom are just, like, having to work
right.
two jobs to try to do what they're passionate about. And so that kind of surprised me, like, how little money a lot of the guys get when they fight by the time they get the percentage out from the gym and their coaches and stuff. I was like, yikes. That would mean you need to, like, fight all the time. And that's a hard thing to train for. And So it was kind of that kind of eye-opening thing there, and just the different terms and terminology that he used, that was what I had to kind of tweak.
Nice. I wrote a book with a firefighter hero, and so I like watched Backdraft, and I'm watching all the TV shows, and I think I got it, and I finally went and talked to a retired fire captain, and he said, "Tell me about the first fire scene," and I tell him, and he goes, "Okay, none of that could happen." And I'm like, "What?"
Oh, no.
So I had to rewrite the whole beginning of my book. I was like, "What?"
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, so I know sometimes
would get to do whatever they want. Like, but I have to get it right, but then it will bug me if it's not right. So, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Totally get that.
So, so the people who poo-poo romance out there, boy, we try really hard to get those facts right.
Yes, we do. And I
always
have a disclaimer,
so cool.
Like, but if there were any errors, it was all me. You know how us romance writers like to embellish for the sake of a good story of romance, you know, like,
right,
you know, so
but we try really hard to make it,
exactly,
make it real.
I try so hard, and it should be right, but if I made a mistake, it's probably for the sake of kissing, so let's go with it. No.
So you also write YA books, right?
Uh-huh. Yes, I do.
The YA books that you have out, do your kids read them? Are they like telling their friends, "You have to read my mom's books"?
Yes, they do. They have read them. Like, my oldest she just turned 15, so she's read a few. And then my next one, she's 12, so she just started paranormal one called. So, like, they tell their friends sometimes. But then it's funny, too, because, like, my middle daughter, she's like, everyone in the whole class, because the teacher grabbed the book she was reading and asked about it, and she was like, "Well, my mom wrote it." So then he made a big deal, and she's kind of shy, so she was like, everyone was staring. And then everyone asked for a copy, and she's like, "That's not really how it works. You have to go buy your own copy. Like, my mom doesn't just come to schools and hand them out for, you know." It's like, I would love to do that sometimes. And I've donated to the library where they can check it out. But it's like, yeah, no, I don't have a box of 100 books to hand out to junior high kids right now. So
yeah, it's very true. That's so cool.
They're good cheerleaders and super supportive.
Oh, that's wonderful. I read an interview once with Hugh Jackman talking about his son and his friend playing video games, and his friend kept going, "I can't believe your dad's Wolverine," and Hugh Jackman's in the other room, and his son goes, "He's not really cool like Wolverine." So now I always wonder, you know, for the people who write YA, is your kid going, "Woohoo, my mom," or are they telling people she's really not that cool?
No, they're really supportive. Like, a lot of times too, I just, to get the lingo right, or I'll ask, like, "Oh, do you guys know if I made this reference? Would you know this movie? You know, do a lot of people know that movie? Don't they?" You know, like, Star Wars is pretty universal, and one awesome thing about the new movies is it brought it back again. So I'm like, that's good, because I think that I have a Star Wars reference in probably every single book I write. They just find their way in there. So I'm like, okay, good, that one's so solid. That one's so good to go. You know, as you're trying to make references, you want it to be right. You want it to read teen, and, you know, some of the slang that I'll put in. But I'm like, I know that, you know, this slang might be out of date in 5 to 10 years, but I think most of the readers are right now anyway. And so I'm like, I'd rather just read authentic for now.
Mm-hmm. So if you love Star Wars, are you ever going to write sci-fi?
I don't know. I have, like, one, it's like, sci-fi is the one thing where you talk about, oh, friends, you know, friends, lovers being hard. Like, sci-fi is completely overwhelming to me, like, all the world building and the details and all of that stuff. So, like, I love watching it and reading it. It's just a different, it's like, kind of like, oh, if I ever had a great idea, I never say never, but it's not something that I have in the plans right now.
Okay. I just, if you really love it, I bet you would write a really cool one. You could have some kind of quirky space captain who is friends with her first mate. And
yes. And I do write, I love urban fantasy. Like, I have a couple of urban fantasy YAs and a few that are just sitting on my computer waiting because it's kind of a hard urban fantasy market that, like, I love. But it's just not the right time yet. So I keep waiting for the right time, hoping it'll swing back around.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I love urban fantasy too. I had Rebecca Roanhorse on a few weeks ago, and she wrote a new urban fantasy that's based on Navajo mythology. It's called Trail of Lightning. So good. Oh my gosh. So if you love urban fantasy, go grab that one. It's super good. I've never read anything
well, and
like
I'm
it.
Like, but Alona Andrews series, like Magic Bites, the new one just came out today, and I'm like, I have to get my word count so that I can reward myself by reading some of that.
Right. I saw somebody posting on Twitter about that book that they just got it and they may have to stay up all night, so they may have to be sick to work tomorrow.
Yes, it's like a series. I have a book club that of girls that was it started way, like, I mean, I signed a contract, but I didn't have any books out. And they've been my book club girls forever, and we all live in different countries. And they were the ones that got me into those books. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you guys, this is so awesome and so bad for my deadlines. So I would finish working, and then I would read until, like, 2 in the morning. And they were, like, 6 books out by the time I discovered it. So I was like, oh, I'll just not sleep for 3 months. It'll be cool.
It'll be fine.
So I was like,
sleep
okay, I have
overrated.
To wait to start the next one. And then I would not, so.
How did you get in a book club where everybody's in different countries?
So we all started talking about a certain series. It was called, the first book was called Shade. It was by Jerry Smith Reddy. And we all.
One of my favorites. Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
So,
I love that trilogy.
Yes, it's such a good trilogy, and we started talking about it. Part of it was, I think, like the YA sisterhood had that, the book boyfriend kind of playoff games. So we all started being on the team because we were voting for the guy from there, and we started talking to these girls, and we were trying to have conversations on Twitter, but by the time we tagged everyone and then said a sentence, it was like 3 words, you know? And then we were all also
right.
in different time zones, so it was really hard to get together. So what we did was one of the girls made a Facebook group, and we called it the Time Zones Will Not Defeat Us book club. And so now we go on there, and we'll read, and you just kind of post the book title and what chapter you're at, and then you don't post anything about it except for in the comments. So that way, if someone's past that point, they don't see the spoilers. So anyway.
I gotcha.
And they're some of
that
my
is.
Favorite girls because I have known them for so long, and they're all over the country and, or, you know, all over the world, different countries.
Right.
So it's fun.
That is really cool. And, oh, my gosh, that's one of my – I don't read a lot of YA, but that one was so phenomenal. And then the final book, when you find out why everything happened, I was like, oh, my gosh, the payoff was worth it.
Yes, such a good series. And then it's funny because we still have a few series where, like, we're torn on teams. So occasionally – like Cynthia Hand, her Unearthly series is one of them. So occasionally someone will just put, like, Team Tucker, and then the other people will be like Team Christian, like just out of nowhere. We won't even be talking about the books. It's just like an ongoing thing. It's it's so fun. And like the Banshee series was the other one that we do that with. And so anyway, it's just kind of fun to have those people who totally get you, and we like the same books, and we started being friends about all parts of our lives. Just, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I think that's really the magic of books is that, you know, it can bring people together. My first writing group, before I ever even dreamed about publishing, we met a million years ago when they had news groups, when the internet was brand new, and we all loved Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicles, but it would take a year and a half to get the next Vampire Chronicle book. So in between, we would write our own vampires in a Yahoo group. And eventually we all met up in New Orleans one year and all this stuff, but it's all the books, the love of books that, you know, brings all these cool people from everywhere together. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And it's funny because we've met quite a few of us have met at romantic times. And we talk about, oh, we're meeting these people that we met on Twitter. You know, and they're like, you've met them other places, right? And we're like, no, not yet, but we're going to. And people just look at us like we are crazy. And then my friend from England, Claire, she was like, you think people looked at you like you were crazy? I was going from England, flying to America to meet these girls. And people were like, you have a backup? Like, what if you get there
right.
crazy? And so it's been really fun. But now, I mean, she's come a few times for romantic times. And when I had a signing in Ireland, her and her husband, like, came over from England. They just did a little plane ride from to Ireland and came and saw me. And so it's just been some of the greatest people when you bond over books. It's just, it's like a great – they're your people.
Well, yeah, they are. And book people are like the best people. So I always say book
they
stalkers
really
are A-OK.
Yeah.
So what's up next for you, book-wise?
So I have a book called Just One of the Groomsmen, which is about a girl she's a tomboy and a group of guys. And they grew up together, and she's total tomboy. And one of the guys is getting married, and so she's like a groomsman in name, but of course she has to wear a dress because the bride is more traditional. And of course all the guys make fun of the fact that she's going to have to wear a dress at the wedding. And then meanwhile she starts having some more than friends feelings for one of the other groomsmen that she's been friends with forever. So it's kind of that fun small town dynamic.
That I love that idea. I was a singer before I was a writer, and I got hired to sing at a wedding once where the maid of honor was actually this girl's best friend was this gay man, and he was fantastic, but. I remember at the rehearsal dinner, he was going, I'm totally going to wear a dress. And everyone's like, no, you're not. And he did. He rocked his maid of honor dress. It was something else. But that was an amazing wedding.
That's awesome. I just love, and, you know, I grew up on a cattle ranch and kind of sometimes was one of the guys. And we'd go check cows. Mm-hmm. And then when the wanted to go meet up with girls, and they were like, bye. Okay.
Okay, I'll just stand over here.
Able, right, so I was kind of able to write in some of that kind of stuff, just the funny small town stuff that you, when you're one of the guys, so to speak. And
did you ever have a friends to you wish it was more friends moment?
Well, I think like that every time it's all about timing. Like sometimes I think there were times some of my guy friends like where I kind of wondered about being more with them, and then I felt like sometimes I was getting that vibe from them. Only it was, you know, enough time later that I was like, no, I don't know, I'm not ready for that. I just need you to stay a friend. And so I think I'm sure that we kind of went back and forth. But nothing, I never actually had, it's funny that I write so many friends to lovers because I never really started.
You never really had it.
A relationship
okay.
that
I'm
way.
For you, the timing was never right.
Right. I feel like the timing was never right. And now I'm sure if anyone in my small town listens to this, they'll be like, which person?
It was me.
Yeah,
yeah, sorry about that. Now you're going
to
get awkward emails.
No.
Was it me?
No.
Did you grow up in Colorado? Was that where the cattle ranch was?
I did. I did grow up in Colorado in a tiny town in the southern part of Colorado called Sanford. No one usually knows where it is or what it is. And it's kind of funny because there was like a whole bunch of small farming communities around there. And then there's kind of the bigger town that everyone goes to over the weekend. And by bigger, I mean like, I don't even know. I think it's like 10,000, 15,000.
Oh,
so
nice.
Still not very big. Like my town was 800 people. So.
Wow. Yeah, I lived in the sticks of San Diego, and people always think, you know, because San Diego's this big town, but when you go east, it's really small. In my elementary school, my graduating sixth grade class, there were 12 of us. So,
wow.
So it was
yeah,
very
people
tiny,
usually
but
say,
yeah.
Oh. I had a small class, and they say 100, and I'm like, try 18. 18 for my senior class. So
there you go.
Yeah, so it is.
Yeah, but I had horses. We didn't have any cows. It was just horse ranch. But yeah, fist bump to calloused hands and lots of wheelbarrows.
Yes. Driving tractors.
Do you still have a bunch of animals now?
I don't. I just have the kitties, but my dad does, and it's kind of nice because we live in Colorado Springs, but my parents' house is about 2.5 to 3 hours away, so I feel like my kids kind of get the best of both worlds. They see the city, but then they can go home, well, to my home, and they'll see the horses and the cows, and we go for Roundup where you get them all out of the mountains and bring them down home closer for the winter, and then we also take the cows to the mountains in the spring, so to early summer, so my kids get to go for that kind of thing, and they see the horses and the cows and all the animals, and so they kind of get the best of both worlds that way.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's so cool. So we've only got 4 minutes left, but I want to ask you, is there another genre besides YA and adult that you are, like, wishing that you could write? I mean, we talk sci-fi, but, I mean, is there something that you're kicking around that you would like to do?
Like, I really would love to get my urban fantasy YA series somewhere going, just because, like, I love that series. It was so fun. So, like, someday I hope to have a urban fantasy YA series to add to everything else.
Have you already written some of the books in that?
Yeah, I have. They're
okay.
Just on my computer, waiting for the right time. Yes. But until
whispering.
I'm happy to have awkward heroines and romantic comedy contemporary and that kind of thing.
Yeah. But urban fantasy, I read a lot of it because that's one of my favorites, and there aren't enough quirky heroines. So, you know, they're usually really kick-ass.
Yeah.
So you could really shake things up.
Yeah, I like, and it's awesome. And I think, you know, sometimes I did have one girl tell me something about an awkward heroine where she was like, oh, I only write strong heroines. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to calm down and talk to you in a second. Because I just feel like awkward heroines are not weak. Like,
exactly.
I think one of the greatest things about awkward heroines is that they learn who they are and to be comfortable who they are. And a lot of my books do kind of go around that theme, like, about learning who you are and being okay with the fact that you sometimes say the wrong thing at the wrong time and you like weird things, but you know what? The best people do. So I think there's kind of a fun, I think in general, most everyone, it's just about, you know, you don't necessarily have to go cut off people's heads to be strong.
Exactly.
Sword fight. And so I love that,
all
the heroines can be the different types of strong.
Yeah, I totally agree, because sometimes it's the strongest thing in the world to have to just accept who you are and go, and I'm okay. That takes courage.
And some days I have to do that. Just when you're like, I'm grown and I'm comfortable with who I am, and then you meet someone or something happens and you're like, why did I revert back to my 12-year-old unsure self? Like, no, I like who I am, you know. So I think it's a challenge,
I own
especially
it.
As women. Yeah. I think as women who are always told that we should be something more or less of something or other, that it's good to remind ourselves that we're all kind of kick-ass heroes in our own right.
I I agree. Well, we're totally running out of time. So before you go, are you doing any like giveaways or contests or anything for the new book that people should go enter? What do you want them to, how should they connect with you?
If you go follow me on Twitter or Facebook, like I know that there is a blog tour going on and I've retweeted the link. Could I tell you where it is? No. but I'm very active on Twitter and Facebook, and I know that, and if you go to my newsletter, then there's books that are given away there, and that's just through CindyMadsen.com. We do some giveaways through that as well.
Great. Well, thanks so much for being on. It was so great talking to you, and good luck with the new book.
All right. Thank you so much for having me, and thanks.
Thank you for joining us on Book Light.
Okay, bye.
Be sure to connect with us at readersentertainment.com for articles, blogs, videos, and podcasts that matter to readers.